Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Now it's time to get a little bit messy. Grown-ups, put down your cell phones and pick up a book. Reading is very pandemic friendly. Sean Covell is the author of the children's book series Porter the Hoarder. It's an interactive romp through ransacked rooms, gold coins, and candy explosions. Thousands of copies of the book Porter the Hoarder will make their way into the hands of school children in South Dakota, and it comes packaged with a little parent homework, which encourages parents and kids to read together. Movie producer and writer Sean Covell is with us today to talk about Porter the Hoarder's reading and family engagement program and his Christmas book, which is called Marlon McDougall's Magical Night, and it takes place right here in South Dakota. Sean, welcome back to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Lori. Thank you for having me back. I appreciate it.
The last time we were together, we were face to face, and we were in the Black Hills studio. Rebecca Swift was with us, and we just had a delightful time. And so much has changed, but good books just stay evergreen, don't they?
Well, we hope they endure. Yes, that was a great time. The studios over West River, here in Rapid City, are just absolutely beautiful. And I'm sorry that everybody isn't going to work over there right now. I'm sure they're eager to return.
Yeah, let's talk about the book and how even during a pandemic, you are finding ways to keep this literacy project, which puts free books in the hands of kids and helps them be empowered to help the big people in their life, learn how to read with them. What's new with this engagement program?
Well, it's interesting to see the program expand the way that it has. And that's entirely the credit to our partners, the South Dakota Statewide Family Engagement Center. When we first created this program with Black Hills Reads and the United Way, I had this book, Porter the Hoarder, a fun read and find adventure. It's designed for a parent, sibling, grandparent to read with a kindergarten, first, second grader. And it's a fun look and find. And you talked about some of the crazy stuff that Porter finds in her dirty room in book one. Mm-hmm. And it was fun to have that book. But then I found out through Black Hills Reads and the United Way that they're focusing on early childhood education, on early reading skill, and on family engagement around the activity of reading as a central pillar of their initiative. So we whipped up this program that put about 2,000 books in the hands and homes of students, first grade students here in the Black Hills. That was November 2018. And then as of last week, our new partners, the Family Engagement Center, they were able to put out 9,500 copies of the book, even during the pandemic, to elementary schools all across the state, and the South Dakota School for the Deaf as part of an outreach program there. And we've been able to supplement it with a parent homework that you mentioned, which is part of the launch day activities, and also YouTube live readings and drawing lessons and a whole bunch of stuff around book one of a 64 book series. So we're lucky to see it kick off this way. Yeah.
You said the activity of reading. And you've kind of alluded to that with, talking about drawing and the conversation and the interactive nature of this. But there are a lot of people who did not have being read to, passed down to them for a variety of reasons. And it can be intimidating to say, I'm going to read with a child in my life. What, mm-hmm. When you say the activity of reading, what do you mean?
Well, I learned that there are a few consistent issues that get in the way of parents reading with kids at home. And the most frequent is actually time. Parents don't know how long it's going to take to read a book with their child. They often hand the book to the child and say, come back later and let me know how this went. And so to block that out in such busy schedules is a challenge. And Porter reads in under 10 minutes, so we're able to address that issue. But the second point that you bring up, which is one that I certainly didn't know about, I think a lot of people don't, is that idea that if a parent wasn't read to as a child, they don't have a model for how that really even works. So to address that, we have a launch day activity where students in the classroom get to read a digital copy of the book up on the board, and one student at a time is picked to go up and find all of the hidden stuff in her room, like snotty handkerchiefs and lightning fried lizards, and then together the class decides what she can keep and what she has to throw away. And so kids get really excited about the book, and the teacher says, would you like your own Porter the Hoarder book? And fortunately, so far, they have said yes, which is good. And then she has her awesome Oprah moment, and the teacher says, well, you get a book, and you get a book, and you get a book. And they're so excited, and everybody's so excited to get their own book. But then the announcement is made, you know, but there's homework. And I've been in the classroom when this happens. It's a wet blanket over the fun. Like, what does a first grader know about homework? But there's just uniform sadness befalls the room. And then the teacher stops and says, but it's not homework for you. It's homework for your parents. And these kids, the excitement they had about the book, nothing compared to when they lose their minds about their parents having homework. And it's explained, you know, your homework, their homework is to read the book with you. And you are the expert. You've read Porter the Hoarder. So you need to teach them how to read with you. So suddenly the parent doesn't have the responsibility of figuring out how to read the student. Students teaching the parent how to read together. And that's been really effective.
And this thing that you're doing, I mean, I know there's many Porter books to choose from,
yeah,
but it also translates to any book that you might get from your library, which is, you know, not all of them are silly, not all of them are designed to be interactive, but you've opened the door, it seems to me, to this idea of, you know, this book is a conversation. You're not supposed to necessarily make it through in, you know, four minutes from start to finish as quick as you can, because this is our time together. This is what we're doing. You're teaching an activity for life in a lot of ways. I think that's a really cool
thing. It's true. Oh, thanks. And it's our goal to find that crack in the schedule and shove the activity of reading into it, because then you create the mechanism. You have a reading time that's always there, and you have a playbook that's always there. So it's our hope that teachers, and as you said, libraries, can then feed new books into that. And it won't be intimidating, and it will be time that's earmarked. And I think that's a really great thing.
When I worked at a bookstore and tried to, you know, put wordless books in the hands of adults, that was always the thing. Like, how am I supposed to read that? It doesn't have any words. And you just you realize at that moment that, you know, the definition of reading to my child for some people is vastly different. And it really is about playtime between people who care about each other and conversation. Yeah. I want to talk, speaking of play and magic and imagination, I want to make sure that we talk about this other book, because it's a holiday book. It's called Marlon McDougall's Magical Night. It's in Hill City. There are trains. Mm-hmm. There is Santa Claus. There is magic. There is disappointment and hope and reindeer all in this. And there's Mount Rushmore. And tell us a little bit about this magical night of Marlon McDougall and how this book came to be, because you're given a challenge.
I was given a challenge. I was speaking with Meg Warder, who's the owner, the president of Black Hills Central Railroad, the 1880s train over in Hill City. And we were just, you know, talking about what it's like to own a train. And I love Christmas. I love Christmas forever. I love trains. I grew up in Edgemont, which is a Burlington northern town. And she'd mentioned that, you know, her Christmas events are just getting bigger and bigger, and she loves them, and everybody has fun, but the expectation is, you know, Christmas and train will be the Polar Express. And so she wanted to license the Polar Express, but it's so cost prohibitive. And she said, you know, I wish I had my own Christmas train book. And on the drive home, I was thinking, gosh, that'd be cool. What's cooler than riding a train to the North Pole? Flying one. And so I was driving, I don't know, have you been to the 1880s train? I'm sure you've been through Hill City.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. So you know the number 7 engine that sits out there in the very front of the train yard. That thing is just such an iconic old locomotive. So I was like, let's put some lore behind that, and came up with the story of Marlon McDougall's Magical Night, which is a story of a 12-year-old boy, Marlon. It's Christmas Eve before his, you know, 12th Christmas, and all he's ever wanted is a toy train for Christmas, but his parents won't give him one because his grandpa, Angus McDougall, is a crazy person and works on the 1880s train, and they don't want him to turn out like crazy Grandpa Angus. But Angus has always said that on the evening of his 12th Christmas, he'll receive a gift beyond anything he could imagine. And that night, late that night, sure enough, Grandpa comes rolling down the road in his old truck, a big long package in the back, and he knows it's a toy train. And as soon as he comes in, Marlon tackles it to the floor and unwraps it and opens it up, and it is a scarf, the most untrain-like thing.
Wah, wah. Yeah.
But it's got the little stitching on it. And
I'm going to make you pause.
Adventure.
Yes,
please,
because we're not going to tell the rest of the story. Because that scarf is an open door to a wild, rollicking adventure with the North Pole caretaker himself. And Sean Covell, It's always delightful to have you. And this book is called Marlon McDougall's Magical Night and Porter the Hoarder as part of the Reading and Family Engagement Program. Let's have you back in the future, and we'll talk more about the magic of Christmas as it relates to the Hill City Train. I just feel like we could do more with that, don't you think?
Thank you so much for having me. Right. I appreciate it.